George Pickens has spoken in the Steelers locker room, and we're going to have that for you in its entirety this hour. But first, a very special guest as part of Fire Prevention Month, Shane Ray, the president of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, joins us on 93.7 The Fan. Shane, how are you? And did you know that there was a football player of your name who played for the Buffalo Bills and the Denver Broncos?
I did. It was I was number one on the internet till he came along. But it's good to share the space with him. So, yeah.
Well, it's good to have you on the air because this is important stuff, Shane, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us. One question comes to mind here. Why are fire sprinklers needed in our homes and businesses today more than ever?
Yeah, the fire environment has changed so much. I spent my career as a firefighter, worked my way through the ranks all the way up to fire chief and state fire marshal. And over those 30-plus years, it's like I've watched the fire environment change so much in these buildings. And it's because all the things in our buildings are made of synthetic material. So back in the day when I started in the fire service, it was, you had some things made out of real wood and cotton and wool and leather and those kind of things. And that's almost non-existent in our homes anymore.
Mm. So how long? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, those items are mostly, too, in our homes unregulated. So that makes the fire so much hotter and so much faster. So the fire environment I started in, I could come in and rescue you from a fire. And now it's so much harder to do that because the average response time of a fire department is like 6 to 10 minutes in most places across the country. And fire can reach deadly proportions in now less than 5 minutes. And depending on the size of the house, sometimes in less than 3 minutes.
Wow. Well, how long have fire sprinklers been around, and is it like what we see on some commercials and in movies over the years when a fire sprinkler goes off?
Yeah, no, it is not. Fire sprinklers, and thanks for that question, because it is the 150-year anniversary of the automatic fire sprinkler device. So the fire sprinkler is not tied into the building's alarm system. It doesn't go off unless there is an actual fire. So fire sprinklers are individually heat activated. So they do not all go off like you see in a Hollywood movie. Only the one closest to the fire activates. And most of the time, in 96% of the cases, only two fire sprinklers are needed to control a fire because they activate quickly when the heat builds up to activate them and put water on the fire to contain it to where it starts. So that is such a key that people don't know. They think it's going to go off and flood the whole building and those kind of things. It's like, no. Most businesses are back in operation within a few days. So the continuity of business is like vitally important. And in our homes, our logo is fire sprinklers buy time, time buys life. It buys time for you to escape your home, and it buys time for the fire department to get there to rescue you if you can't get out.
We're talking to Shane Ray, president of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. It's part of Fire Prevention Month. All right, Shane, just a couple more questions. What if we have fire sprinklers in our home and businesses now? Should we be having them checked? What should we be doing if we already have them?
Yeah, it's vital that you have your fire system maintained in your building, especially business occupancies. It's required by codes and standards that you have it checked. And so you can visit nfsa.org and find some of our wonderful contractor members there in the Pittsburgh area that can take care of all your needs with your fire protection systems.
And I think you may have just answered my last question of how can people learn more about fire sprinklers?
Yeah, absolutely. FireNFSA.org and then HomeFireSprinkler.org if you have sprinklers in your home.
Yeah.
That's the Home Fire Sprinkler Coalition, a vital partner of the National Fire Sprinkler Association. But all of our wonderful members there in the Pittsburgh area do such a great job, and you can find them at NFSA.org and find a contractor.
Shane, we appreciate the time. This is very important stuff, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us here. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Fire Prevention Week is very important, and we really, really appreciate you all spreading the message.
Absolutely. Thanks again. That's Shane Ray, president of the National Fire Sprinkler Association, and this is Fire Prevention Month. Really important stuff. All right, George Pickens has spoken. He avoided reporters after the game and at the facility this week. So I think it's a good thing that he's spoken because, man, it doesn't help when you already have teammates who aren't overly thrilled with you. And you're not talking, forcing them to answer for you. You got to stand up and talk. And George did today. So my friend City Limits has broken it into the best of George from today. Why don't you tell me what the topic is, play the clip, and then you and I will riff for a moment on it. I remember riffing with Ron, and it makes me very sad that Ron is no longer here.
But it makes me happy that Ron is okay with the hurricane as well.
He is. Yes, I talked to him last night. He said the only bad part of his night was watching the Penguin game. Go ahead, Limits.
Okay, we got a plethora of clips. Let's start with George Pickens on load management.
George, Mike said you were okay with the load management, not being out there as much. Is that in fact true?
Oh, yeah, that's what he just asked me. It's just part of the game plan.
Part of the game plan. Part of the game. We're going to continue this? We're all going to continue this? That this was about snap management? Okay, let's entertain that for a moment. Let's say this is actually what happened and that the Steelers went into a game against the Dallas Cowboys and decided it was a good idea to not have their best offensive player out there for more than 40% of the snaps. Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. Then it was one of the worst game plans ever concocted this side of Matt Canada, and maybe including Matt Canada. What are we talking about here, Limits? Everybody's buying into this? We're all just gonna accept that this is snap management and load management, even Pickens?
Well, I don't think we're going to accept it, but I feel like there was probably a conversation had between Mike Tomlin, George Pickens, and maybe a couple others in the room that this is going to be the messaging that's delivered to try to control it.
So just to be clear then, and this is actually exciting in a way, that we're all witness to George Pickens being the first number one receiver in the history of football who is being preserved like this through snap management. It's actually very exciting. Next.
So who is in charge of the snap management, you might say?
How do you feel confident about like the way that they're going to be using you? If it is going to be like lesser snaps, that you'll be able to give more effort on it on each time that you're out there?
Like I said, it's just part of, you know, game structure, game plan. If you know Art want to do a certain type of play or a certain type of game plan, then it's going to be different.
We're extending this farce to where we're asking about the future? Like, hey, George, now that it's clear that you're in a snap management program, how do you think this will be managed from here on out? Please, everybody stop. Everybody stop doing this. He's not in a snap management program. He got benched. And if he is in a snap management program, fire everybody. He's their best offensive player.
He threw it on Artie Smith. He threw it right back to him.
He did, Artie Smith.
So that's up to Art.
Wait, no, it was Pickens' dad who dumped on Artie Smith too this week, right?
Well, did you hear the end of that clip where he said it's up to Art?
No,
I don't think he was talking about Rooney.
I want to hear that again. Let's hear that.
How do you feel confident about like the way that they're going to be using you? If it is going to be like lesser snaps, that you'll be able to give more effort on it on each time that you're out there?
Like I said, it's just part of, you know, game structure, game plan. If you know Art want to do a certain type of play or a certain type of game plan, then it's going to be different.
I didn't hear Art. Did you?
Yeah.
Let me hear it again. First of all, let me hear the question again. I don't know who that was, but did that guy throw in the effort thing at the end and that was just ignored? I have to hear this whole thing again and analyze it.
How do you feel confident about like the way that they're going to be using you? If it is going to be like lesser snaps, that you'll be able to give more effort on it on each time that you're out there?
And here's the
George,
answer.
George, hold on. Let me translate that. George, if you are going to be in a snap management program from here on out, any chance you'll try? Let's hear his answer.
Like I said, it's just part of, you know, game structure, game plan. And, you know, Art want to do a certain type of play or a certain type of game plan, then it's going to be different.
Yeah. So another translation. However they want to use me, I guess depends on the opponent, and I won't address the part about you asking me whether I'll try or not. Next.
Here is George Pickens being asked about a lack of splash plays.
George, Mike says he wants more splash. Is it frustrating knowing that you're the guy with the most potential splash out there and your snaps are limited? Is it frustrating?
No, not really. One of these people just asked me the same thing before y'all all came over here.
Was there more to the answer?
That was it.
Just not really? That was Will Graves. I guess we call him the bone collector here. Let me hear his question again. These questions are all veiled like in such a way as the umbrella, like if there was a thought bubble above this or some sort of bubble explaining it, it's George, you didn't try the other night. So in light of that, I'm going to ask you this question.
How do you manage frustrations?
Let me hear the bone collector
all right.
again.
George, Mike says he wants more splash. Is it frustrating knowing that you're the guy with the most potential splash out there and your snaps are limited? Is it frustrating?
No, not really. One of these people just asked me the same thing before y'all all came over here.
Okay, next.
Here is Brooke Pyre's question on George Pickens managing frustration.
How do you manage frustrations just throughout the course of the season? And, you know, maybe if you're not as involved
not well.
As you want to be, how do you kind of mentally stay in the game?
You just keep working.
What?
He said you just keep working.
Oh. You just keep, but he's not working. He's quitting
now,
on routes. That's the opposite of working. Plus, Fittipaldi reported that he comes late to work. So I'm not saying Brooke, but doesn't somebody have to follow up with, there's just one problem there, George. You've been late to work, according to a Post-Gazette story today. Is that true? Go ahead.
Now, here is probably the top two quotes of the day.
Please.
This is George Pickens on questionable penalties.
Earlier this season, you know, you've had some questionable penalties called on you. You've had some plays just kind of not go your way. Do you feel like you've gotten better at handling that kind of stuff and, you know, just dealing with the ebbs and flows of a game?
I wouldn't really say that. That's all on the refs. So that should show you where the refs are this season.
I actually like that answer. Yeah, me grabbing that guy by the face mask after the game was over the other day and throwing him to the ground, that's the ref's fault. That's gold. Can we hear that again? That's the Batconian, that's the Brian Batko asking that question.
Earlier this season, you know, you've had some questionable penalties called on you. You've had some plays just kind of not go your way. Do you feel like you've gotten better at handling that kind of stuff and, you know, just dealing with the ebbs and flows of a game?
I wouldn't really say that. That's all on the refs. So that should show you where the refs are this season.
I almost admire just the flagrant lack of accountability. It's actually admirable, but keep going. What's the next best one?
The next one is George Pickens not being aware of the NFL uniform policy in terms of the eye black.
George, were you aware of the rule about messaging on the eye black?
Never seen it before. Have you seen it before?
I mean, Cam got fined like some years ago for putting his dad's name on it.
Years ago?
Yeah.
When I wasn't in the league, so nah.
Well, you know what else we've never seen before? Somebody show up for a game with, what was it? Blanking always open, always blanking open, open blanking always.
Yes.
That was it.
Yes. And the
open F word always. We've never seen that either. So I guess it was sort of a clash of things we've never seen before.
Here was Pickens once again.
Hold on.
Okay.
These are so great that I want to analyze them a little bit more. Can I hear that one again?
Yes.
George, were you aware of the rule about messaging on the eye black?
Never seen it before. Have you seen it before?
I mean, Cam got fined like some years ago for putting his dad's name on it.
Years ago?
Yeah.
When I wasn't in the league, so nah.
So if somebody asked him before the game, George, do you think that's a good idea to have the F word painted on your face? And do you think the league will come down on you for it? He would have said, I think it is a good idea. Yes. Thank you for asking. And no, why would the league care about me having the F word on my face on a nationally televised game? Is that what he would have said?
Yeah, kind of seems like it.
Next.
So this is back to Pickens on the eye black and hearing from the league because it factors into another question.
Did he hear from
asked.
The league? Yeah, I think.
The eye black message on your eye black. Was there any purposeful? What was the purpose behind it?
It's just eye black.
Yeah.
Did you expect the blowback about the message on the eye black?
Nah.
Have you heard from the league about a fine, or is there anything internal that comes with that?
And he didn't answer.
That's actually great.
That was the answer. It was just nothing.
That might be one of the greatest media sessions in Steeler locker room history.
It's not done.
Oh, good.
So Pickens was asked again about the eye black a little bit later on, and this is what was said.
So what's the point of the eye black?
They just asked me that. It's a little late to the party.
You're a little late to the party.
Late to the party.
That's the best line of all.
The invite was just a little tardy.
Clip that. Just the part where he says, you're a little late to the party. Which the best comeback to that would have been, at least I'm not late to work. Anything else?
I have one more. This is George Pickens on throwing his helmet down after a failed third down conversion.
Throwing your helmet on the sideline, is that something that you just part of being a competitor? Or did you regret that? Do you not want to do that anymore?
Nah, you know when it's third down and you don't convert. A lot of fans are mad as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Everybody's mad after you don't convert on the old third down. Nice to get on the field, though, when you're part of the snap management program, at least. Would you acknowledge that?
A little bit. 57% of the snaps is not a lot for a number one wide receiver.
So I'm not sure this helps in the court of public opinion. Kind of like last year when he refused to block by the goal line and then said that week that he didn't want to risk injury, that some other player in the league had been injured trying to block on a similar play, and he didn't want to put himself in that position. That didn't help. I'm not sure this is going to help a lot either. Hokie was adamant. You know, I've said this a couple times this week. In terms of, like, huge issues in the world, him wearing the F word on his face, on his eye tape, whatever you want to call it, is not one of the big issues. But the way that the Steelers portray themselves as a family-friendly, family-oriented organization that's operating from a higher moral ground, which is how they have portrayed themselves for decades, I'm not sure how nobody calls down and says, can you tell him to get that off his face, please, on a nationally televised game? And Hokie was very adamant that, you know, and he was talking as a former Steeler who sounded like he was embarrassed by that, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, because what he said is that just does not represent the Steelers in the Steeler way. And from a Super Bowl champion that has played on some of the best teams in not just Steeler history, but really NFL history in the 05, 08 teams when you win the Super Bowl, that's a startling message, Joe. Like, it really is.
Now, there were some issues with those teams, just to be clear.
Right.
James Harrison gotten one. That was exponentially worse and in a whole different ballpark than what you wear on your face during a game. I certainly get that. Of course, that was a whole different issue. Same thing with Ben back then. I get it. So somebody may point that out. We have a development here, and not an insignificant one. City Limits. Our friend Andrew just walked in here, our social media guy.
Yeah.
And said he has been in touch with Rivers Casino, where Rick Springfield is playing.
Yes.
And the request is in, two requests, actually. One, that Rick Springfield insert Malzi's name into that song. Is the song I've Done Everything For You, is that the name of the song?
I'm going to make sure so that I don't sound dumb.
Okay. That he insert Malzi's name into the song during his performance. And two, that he join us perhaps on the air before his concert.
It is. I've done everything for you.
I've done everything for you.
Just confirming.
And if he did, we could either sing it for him live or play the clips of Bob and I singing it, and he could judge them. Maybe as a way to bump up the interest. I don't know. I don't know what the concert is selling like right now. Maybe he doesn't need that. But either way, we could certainly do that. Would you welcome Rick Springfield on the show?
1,000%. You know what it would make me think of, Joe? The next edition of Austin and Joe Tries, singing with Rick Springfield.
That would be incredible. Do you think he would like Bob's version or my version better?
I think he would probably like Bob's version better.
Can we...
Now, do you like
I love that.
Do you like your first version better? Or do you like your second version better?
Well, I've told you the first version was just off the cuff. The second version was after I went home and actually practiced and realized I needed a pause. I needed to emphasize I, everything, and Malzi, and I needed a little lilt after I came back from the pause. So the second one, for sure.
Yes.
I've done everything for Malzi. He's done nothing for me.
And all together now at the same time.
I've done everything for Malzi. He's done nothing for me.
Perfect harmony.
I think Rick Springfield would be blown away by that, that we have honored him like that, and that a guy who, frankly, is bigger than him, and that's Bob Pompiani, is singing that. I think Bob's even bigger than him nationally.
You'd think it would be more of a compliment than Rick Springfield. Look at these guys trying to imitate my song. Put their own little parody on it.
I mean, there's only one way to find out, and that's to get Rick Springfield in the building.
Let's do it.
And if not, to at least get him one time. I mean, in that song, he says that verse, that chorus, I guess, probably 10 times, right? Does he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, multiple times.
If just once he could put Malzi's name in there, I mean, it would be historic, wouldn't it?
It would be almost as historic as you trying to get incrinculant into the dictionary.
I mean, that's a great example. I got incrinculant said at a pirate news conference unsolicited by the manager of the team after they beat the Cardinals. Don't ever underestimate the power of this show, City Limits.
Well, and Pomp said it on a Steeler preseason game too, I remember.
I know. I mean, this stuff happens. Where there's a will, there's a way. Easier to beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. So we have a call in to Rick Springfield's people through Rivers Casino. I think he's going to come over here. What else during the day? What else is he going to have to do? I mean, he can go to the casino, I guess, for a little while if he likes to do that. We'll pick him up, right? Will you pick him up?
Sure. Whatever works.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful. Artie Smith just talked.
He did.
Anything interesting?
Yeah, he was talking about load management, which seems to be the key phrase of the day.
Yes.
And Arthur Smith previously has done this, he said today.
I've done it with Derrick Henry. You know, I did it there and played. And I went out there on all third downs, and he got plenty of touches. Did it with A.J. Brown early, certain things, and tried to mix and match and maximize things or set things up. And that was a little bit early. Still played the majority of snaps. He's still, I believe, you know, depending on what metric you're using, seventh in targets, in passing downs, or from passing opportunities in the league.
Yeah, the issue isn't the season as a whole. It's the other night, Dr. Smith. And I went back and looked at A.J. Brown's percentage of snaps after, let's say, his second year in the league. And remember, Pickens was at 59% the other night, the lowest number of his career. This is incredible. Everybody's in on this? This is like some sort of, what's the word, gaslighting here. Like,
word of the day.
Everybody's in on it? Reporters asking framed questions about load management. Arthur Smith talking about it. Pickens talking about it like this was normal the other night. Your offense sucks. You're not doing anything. So let's have your best player watching from the sidelines. Makes sense to everybody? Yep. A.J. Brown, his second year in the league, 81%, 71, 84, 93, 94, 82, 75, 81, 81, 86, There was one game at 56%, 84, 76, and 90. I don't know what happened in that one game. Maybe it was snap management, or maybe he left hurt, or maybe it was a blowout. Let me see here. The score of that game was 31-10 against Jacksonville. Might that have had something to do with it? This is ridiculous, really, honestly. He got benched the other night, okay? Any other explanation is ludicrous. You're going to tell me that we're going to have to go back and look at A.J. Brown's snap counts now to tell us what happened? And then Derrick Henry, he did have lots of games with low snap counts. That's apples and oranges. Was he also their third down back? I mean, are you out of the game on third downs?
Right.
Games you have to pass to catch up? That's not relatable here. A.J. Brown is more relatable. And even if there were a couple of games like that, Mike Tomlin spoke in terms of saving Pickens for late in games and I guess later in the season, which again would make him the first number one receiver in the history of professional football to be put on a snap count to preserve him for later in the season. Get out of here with this. Please.
They just have really got all their ducks in a row on this one, don't you think? Like,
watch your language there, or George will wear it on his face next week.
Yes. Limits. So, I don't know. To me, it just seems like they knew, because Tomlin was asked the questions beforehand. There had to have been a conversation, whether it been Monday or Tuesday, that, look, you're going to get asked this. We know this is the only thing you're going to be asked. We
Can
know
you imagine
Artie's going to be asked.
Imagine if Tomlin got in front of the whole team. Said, listen, you guys are going to be asked, coaches, everybody, we're all going to be asked about George's snap management this week, about why he didn't play a lot the other night. Just say it was load management, okay? Everybody. The funny thing is, the players haven't said that. The players basically admitted that there's a problem here. So, what is going on here, Limits? What is happening? The players are acknowledging that there's an issue with George Pickens. The coaches aren't. That's what's happening. Pat Freiermuth the other night indirectly, and by the way, Limits, get off the phone for a second. Tell that guy to hold. Please tell him to hold. We have more important matters.
All right, what we got?
Did you hear Tirico and Collinsworth the other night? Or maybe it was, who was the sideline reporter? I can't remember.
Melissa Stark.
One of them said during the broadcast that Freiermuth told them during the week that that's how you pronounce his name, Freiermuth.
Freiermuth.
To which then whoever was talking to him said, well, what about all the fans? Like, you're not going to deny them the ability to say, Muth, are you? And he said, of course not. You know, basically either one works. But we now have it on the record forevermore for posterity's sake. That this dude's name is Pat Freiermuth, okay? It's Pat Freiermuth.
Muth. Is that any better? You like Muth.
I like that.
You ever play Pokemon? There was Mew and Mewtwo?
No.
Muth.
No, my favorite game was always Pac-Man, which is still very satisfying to play, is it not?
Mine too. I love Pac-Man. I love every time I go to the arcade, I find the Pac-Man machine, and you can find me there for hours.
But the point here. The point here is that Freiermuth, after indirectly ripping Pickens the other day, tried to soften it yesterday by saying you have to understand where he's coming from. But he also said at the end of the day, he also has to understand this is a team sport. So the players themselves are acknowledging that there is an issue here. Calvin Austin. George, being a star in this league, he faces a lot more than maybe I face. We're all together at the end of the day. It's about having trust in each other. People go through real life stuff just sticking together. So he, even in all that, he's acknowledging that something is happening with Pickens. Mount Washington. I know his actions probably weren't the right thing to do at the time. Everybody's acknowledging that.
Right.
But we're going to continue this ruse of snap management? Even Artie's in on it?
Well, because it's the guys at the top.
Even Artie? I'm talking Artie Smith, not Art Rooney II.
Right, I know. I mean, it's those guys that aren't going to come out and... You know, I've started to notice something. Does it seem like there's a common pattern in this city with this regard, like not wanting to come out and just deliver the accountability section, lay down the law a little bit?
Yes. And I think it's happening with the Penguins, too. And it's not that Evgeny Malkin is doing anything, you know, wrong. He didn't wear open blanking always on his stick tape the other night or last night. But I think there's definitely a reluctance to kick him off the first power play, quite frankly. He was an issue last year. He may have been the issue. Maybe Carlson, too. But Malkin stands out. And I think Mike Sullivan doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to pull him off the first power play. Like I said last night, thankfully for me, I forgot to tape the game. And when I came home, I tuned in and I swear to you right away, right? As soon as I turned on the television in the man cave, the Penguins were on a power play losing 4-0 and maybe 10 minutes left. The first thing I saw seconds after I turned on the TV was Malkin throw a cross ice pass on the power play to nobody, springing the other guys for a shorthanded breakout. It became a puck race between whoever was the Ranger player and Letang. The guy tipped it past Letang and scored a crap goal on Jari. So I thought, three issues this season. Malkin, the power play, maybe even a little bit of Letang, although I think he was hurt last year, and Jari all manifested themselves within 2 seconds of me turning on the TV. So I turned off the TV and didn't watch anymore. But to answer your question, this multi-sport lack of accountability in this town, Shelton the same way. Shelton is much or more than anybody, by the way. That's a great point by you, my little limitless wonder. Shelty watches O'Neill Cruz watch the ball off the bat, hit off the wall, and not run out of the box. The Yankees, their manager benched a guy, I forget who, for that exact scenario. Same with Rowdy Tellez. He did the same thing. And maybe it would do some good for Shelty to stand on the top step of the dugout and yell at somebody, or at least quietly bench somebody and then admit to it later instead of saying Rowdy was on load management there. Yeah, it might have seemed like he didn't run out of the box and I immediately benched him, but no, he's just on load management. Take accountability, exact accountability. I'm with you on that. Sully, Shelty, and Tomlin.
All too common. It's just all too common.
Like, what a point you've made here.
I'm not asking them to just come out and rip players and just, you know, make a mockery of them. Like, nobody's saying that. But still, there has to be some type of messaging that's delivered, whether it be in a press conference, anywhere, just to know that, look, this is an issue. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but, I mean, man, it just seems like nothing is being done to fix any of this other than what's internal, and we don't know what that is.
This is one of the most incrinculent and salient points you've ever made. It is a pattern.
I'm growing up in front of your eyes, huh?
It is a pattern. I think Sully is reluctant to demote a franchise icon. And who knows? Maybe they'll be right. It's one game, but it's really not one game. The power play last year, and I mean this, and I'd like to see a study done on this, and perhaps I'll perform it with your help, was one of the most, based on talent level and pedigree on hand, was one of the most embarrassing power plays in the history of the National Hockey League. To finish 31st in the league. You go find me another power play ever from all time with that kind of talent, even if some of it is aging talent. That many potential Hall of Famers, and I think they started the season with 4 of them on their power play, that underachieved to that level. And now one of the biggest thrusts of the new season is we brought in David Quinn to help us fix this power play. We fired the guy who was in charge of it, probably against Sully's wishes. And now Sully's good friend David Quinn is here, and now everything's going to be fixed. Or at least we'll go from historically horrific to average, and that'll probably win us four more games or so. Instead, I turn it on last night, and it's Malkin making a mindless cross-ice pass to nobody that springs the other guys on a breakaway once he pushes the puck past Letang. And it becomes clear to me that, oh my gosh, it's the same people. There's no accountability for what happened last year except the scapegoat of the guy who was running the power play. Right, Limits?
I'm just over it at this point. Like,
and Shelty is an issue unto himself with the accountability thing. And he's practically said on the show here that he's not that kind of manager.
Yes, and that it's all in-house. We handle it internally. I just don't feel like that's the most appropriate way to go about it.
And then this thing that extends to poor Artie Smith having to say, yeah, I did the same thing with Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. Thank you, Limits, for making that point.
You're quite welcome.
And elevating the show to a whole new level today. Let's talk about that at 412-928-9370. The entire George Pickens situation. We got into this before Hokie came on. We'll play a Hokie clip from earlier today. Very strong words on Pickens. We'll play the choice clips from Pickens. And it's all happening in this context. Would you out there be inclined to sink big money into George Pickens after this season, as Jerry Dulac has reported the Steelers plan to do? At least that report was accurate a few months ago. Are you inclined, with everything you know, all the good, all the bad? There's been a lot of good with Pickens. Spectacular player at times and a productive one. Would you be inclined at this moment to say, yes, let's sign him to a 4-year, $90 million deal? You know what I'm talking, something thereabouts.